You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome into the Dynasty Draft Room presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Searfoss, joined as always by my co-host, Eric Adams. On tonight, we're going to be talking some NFL draft repercussions and the players that are affected by the draft picks or lack of draft picks. So remember, if you enjoyed the show and you want to give us some support, make sure you subscribe, give us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it's found. You listen to podcasts, and if you want to talk football with us, remember you can find us on Twitter or join our Discord channel for the NFL Draft Bible. And hopping into tonight's show, Eric, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. I'm ready to dissect some situations here. I've been chomping at the bit for some of these guys, so I'm ready to get into it.
I know. We actually have a vision of what teams look like now. And yep. Well, some. And I had you put a list together. And I want to start with one of the biggest names you put on there just to start. Hop right into it tonight because we went over last time. Is A.J. Brown and this Titans offense. They literally did nothing in the draft. And A.J. Brown, consensus top five wide receiver dynasty. Some places are viewing him as number one. Where are you taking this with him?
I don't know. I don't really know. Cause like there's going to be a group of people who are like, oh, there's nobody there to take targets from him. He's the only guy there. He's going to eat. And I get that. But then I see the other argument, the other side of the spectrum. And it's like, well, he's the only guy there. Why wouldn't you just clamp down on him and double team him? And there's nothing else left to beat you, you know, stack eight in the box, double team AJ Brown. Boom. You've beaten the Titans. I don't know how to feel about this.
Is Josh Reynolds and Anthony Fisker going to beat you? That's their next two leading pass catchers.
That's what's going to be the game plan against the Tennessee Titans. We're going to be like, we're going to take away one of A.J. Brown or Derrick Henry. We'll let the other one eat, and then we're going to make the other guys beat us. And I don't think that's going to happen. So I'd be a little worried. I'd be a little worried if I'm an A.J. Brown owner. I don't know if I could put him as my wide receiver one in Dynasty right now because this, like I said, this is – that's a lot on one man's plate.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at this. Like, wide receivers in the league who are kind of in a situation similar. This is really bad, and I don't even know if they're this bad, but they're essentially the only guy.
Yeah,
is Michael Thomas, who's been with really just Kamara, I guess Emmanuel Sanders, which is a better situation than this.
Yep.
Davante Adams has been just that's the closest. But there's one really big difference between Davante Adams and A.J. Brown, and that's the guy throwing it to him.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if A.J. Brown can do that, especially Tannehill. If you have Aaron Rodgers throwing darts and plugging everything in the middle of coverage where it doesn't matter, that's one thing. But Tannehill isn't going to do that. Like, is he going to get 160 targets? Is he going to get 160 targets in this offense?
I think he needs to. I definitely think he needs to be in order for the Titans to be good. But I don't see a good roster right now, so I'm a little worried.
But if you're facing double teams 90%, say 70% of the time,
yep,
how efficient is it going to be? That catch percentage that's going down low 60s, high 50s, we stayed up in his absurd amount. He has now his run after catch is going to go down because there'll be more help over top. I'm worried.
It's something to think about. It's something to bring up when we're discussing A.J. Brown. And look, I love A.J. Brown. I think everyone in Dynasty and whoever plays fantasy football, whoever watched the NFL and who knows A.J. Brown is, loves A.J. Brown. He's a stud.
Yeah.
But when you look at the situation around him, that's not a rosy outlook. We're just offering you that side. I'd be a little nervous about that. Am I saying trade him? No, because these situations can, you know, flip on their heads pretty quickly. But right now, it's not a good look. It's not a good look for them.
No, and I don't know if I'm viewing him as a top five right now. It's close. Like, there's just some guys who are just as talented, whose situation's better.
That's the key.
Better situation. I'm skipping the bottom just because it's very similar. We just mentioned it before.
Yep.
And it's Davante Adams.
Yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers is back, nothing changes. If Aaron Rodgers is gone, shit. Like,
summed it up well.
Like, they're going to run the ball as many times as the Titans and Ravens because that's all they're going to have with Jordan Love throwing the ball or whoever they decide to throw in a quarterback, veteran or whatnot. And I don't know if Davante Adams can be Davante Adams with that. I know some guys are quarterback proof, and he's as close as it can get, but it ain't good.
I'd be nervous. I'd be very nervous if I had Davante Adams.
Like, Aaron Rodgers does all that magic behind the line, gaining time for him to get open, creating stuff. Their offense isn't great. They're going to run the ball and throw to him. I'm praying Rodgers is back. I have lots of Davante Adams shares, but similarly, Valdez-Scantling ain't the guy. I like Amari Rodgers. I thought that was a nice slot receiver, so that maybe could help. Mm-hmm. Tanya played all right. Honestly, their situations, their receiving corps is better than Tennessee's, looking at it. But,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's still not rosy for Jordan Love.
No. When it comes to Adams, I don't think I'm not trading a first round pick for Adams. I need more. If I'm the Adams owner, I need more than a first round pick. I would be looking, if you're looking to trade him, I would be looking for another wide receiver. You're probably going to take a step down in value, but I mean, I'd look for a promising young wide receiver to send Adams off for. Who that is, trying to think of some guys off the top of my head.
I'll name. How about DK Metcalf?
If somebody offered me Metcalf or Adams, I would take it and run.
Yeah, same. Hopkins.
Little old, but yeah, I probably would do it just because I like Hopkins' situation a hell of a lot more.
I'm not going to say these two because they're obvious. How about CeeDee Lamb?
I would take CeeDee Lamb and run. Yeah.
Cooper.
See, that's probably the line for me. That is probably the line for me. I would probably want something with Cooper.
Yeah. How about Stephon Diggs?
Oh, I'd take Diggs. Oh, I would take Diggs in a heartbeat. 100%.
Yeah.
I was expecting a steeper drop.
How about Michael Thomas?
I'd probably take my chances with Davante Adams. I would hope something gets better. Yeah, I would not. That one I wouldn't do.
One last one, DJ Moore.
Ooh, now that's a good one. You'd be taking a bit of a chance if you took Moore for Adams. I can't do that one. I would rather hang on to Adams and hope. I think Adams is too good.
These lines are getting blurred, man.
It is.
Like, this top tier is, if we're looking at this, we talked about Adams and AJ Brown. Does that make Justin Jefferson our one?
I could see that. I could see that, sure. Yeah.
Oh, by the way. It'd be him or Hill for me.
So. Yeah.
By the way, what? Or Metcalf.
But yeah, it's just everything surrounding the Packers right now. Long story short, I don't like it. I don't like everything that's surrounding the Packers right now. I'm of firm belief that I don't think Rodgers goes back to them. I think he's done. And I know.
Yeah, I think he's done. I think he's done there too. Like I said, he's a stubborn human being, man.
Yep. Yep.
He doesn't do anything he doesn't want to do.
And now, on Adams, this is his final year of his contract. They could franchise tag him. He might be stuck in Green Bay. There might not be any other choice for him but to play in Green Bay. They're going to throw a bag at him too, by the way. Like, they're going to offer him a contract that's well over $100 million. He'll probably accept that. So if you like Jordan Love to Devontae Adams, that's basically what you're signing up for when you draft Devontae Adams right now.
And by the time, I mean, he's a $100 million contract at age 28. He is a spring chicken.
Yep. Might be time to move on from Devontae Adams is the lesson of the day.
Yeah, I might be shopping him tonight before this.
We just talked Ryan into shopping Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. Gross.
Yeah, welcome to the show. All right, here's somebody you want to talk about now. Is there anybody more rosier situation that you'd like to talk about?
This is one I wanted to get to because I'm very adamant about what happened around him. And it's not necessarily his weapons getting better. It's his line getting better. Pat Mahomes, people, let me tell you right now, Pat Mahomes is not going to get touched this season. This is one of the better offensive lines I've ever seen ever in watching football. Like, you got Orlando Brown slotting in at left tackle. You got Joe Tooney, who's one of the best guards in the league, slotting at left guard. They draft Creed Humphrey. You get Kyle Long at right guard. I'm blanking on who the right tackle is, but I'm pretty sure he's also a stud.
Yep.
That's an incredible offensive line right there. Like, that, what happened in the Super Bowl? Not happening ever again to Patrick Mahomes, assuming health. All right. What does that mean for fantasy? He's going to have a huge season for fantasy then. He's not going to have to worry about getting dirt on his jersey, basically, on Sunday. Pat Mahomes, I don't know where he'll end up after I make my projections for my QBs this year for the QB rankings, but it's going to be in the top three, and he'll probably be number one. He's going to have a season because of this. That is such a good O-line.
He's always in contention to be number one even before that happened.
Yeah.
Like, even with a trash line, I can't not justify him being that. And this just solidifies it.
Yep.
They're the team to beat in the NFL. That offense is going to click. Fantasy-wise, Tyreek Hill and Kelce are going to be monsters again. But, dude, Mahomes is going to get 5,500 yards passing, 40 touchdowns. Like, he's going to be lights out. And the only thing that could slow him down is if they just – their defense improved and they start running the ball more, but why? Like, it's nice for CEH too, thinking about it. But
I'm glad you brought that up because CEH does 100% get a boost for this. Like, that's a very good run blocking offensive line too. So
yeah, like, Orlando Brown's a run blocking dude.
Yep. And Joe Tooney mauls people. So this is gonna be a good job.
This is nice for them. And if they start running really well, they may not throw as much, but it doesn't matter. He's still going to be a top three quarterback.
That is going to be one efficient, like, offense.
His range of outcomes, worst case scenario, has to be 3 or 4.
Yep.
But you can't say that about anybody else.
Protect your quarterbacks, people. This is what happens. Watch what the Chiefs do this year. It's going to be impressive.
Yeah. That's going to be real depressed thinking about that.
Yeah, bro. Thanks for throwing them Orlando Brown. God. That's a talk for another day.
Yeah. It turned out into some good players, though. It really did.
It don't matter if it doesn't beat the Chiefs.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm just going to throw him in here because I bought it. Is Lamar's got some pretty big improvements in that offense around him. Like, yes, he lost Orlando Brown, but they also played without Ronnie Stanley last year. They added Ben Cleveland. They added Rashad Bateman. They added Tyron Lawless, Sammy Watkins. His passing game's got to improve, and it doesn't have to be a ton to keep him locked in that top five fantasy quarterback where he was because of his rushing. But this is the best offensive skill set he's been surrounded by in his career by a large margin. And I think it's kind of going a little bit overlooked because we've seen what's happening with Mahomes. And I think he's right up there. Like him, Mahomes, Dak, Kyler, they're all surrounded. Josh Allen. Those five, I don't know how you can talk. You can't talk me to any other quarterback being in there right now.
I'd agree with that.
And I can see them in any order.
Yeah. Yeah, one through five. I think it's interchangeable.
And Justin Herbert's up there too.
I'm not ready to put Herbert into that group yet. I need to see another season first.
Herbert and Russ Wilson may be just outside for me.
That,
and Russ is just because of the offense.
But those five are close to bulletproof for me. I'm not willing to put Russ and Herbert there yet.
No. I mean
Russ always falls on that outer edge of that group. We always like he starts the season off. He looks really great. Everyone's like, "Oh man, wow, this might be the year that he gets MVP." And then he goes like three or four games where he's thrown multiple picks and something just goes wrong with the Seahawks. I'm not willing. He's always on that outer edge. Herbert, we'll see if he can ascend. I would love that.
And they don't run Russ enough either for him to be like bulletproof.
Yeah, no.
On a game to game basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, tier off, it's those five. It's Kyler, Lamar, Mahomes, Allen, Dak. And then it'd be Herbert and Russ right together.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And then I'd say there's a drop-off in a lot of questions.
Yeah, after that, it gets messy.
Yeah. Sleeper-wise, though, Matt Ryan, they had a good draft for him, adding Kyle Pitts. Like, this dude has an absolute array of weapons now. And it's going to be nice. I know there's all this talk about Julio being traded, but I feel like the window left for them to get the value they wanted with the draft.
I don't know, because I still think – I don't really know if it changed all that much. I feel like they could still command whatever it was they were commanding at the draft for him. I don't know if anybody's going to give them a first. I think somebody might offer a second, which I think still sounds kind of crazy. Like you bring up the Stephon Gilmore stuff too. Yeah, I get the age thing, but like, damn, that is like we're talking about Julio Jones here. This guy's going to the Hall of Fame. It's just wild to me, but. Yeah, you know, going back to Matt Ryan, I mean, they have no run game. They have a decent O-line. He's got three studs. Three absolute stud receivers.
Yeah.
He's going to throw the ball a lot this year. So, yeah, I'm with it. I'm on board with Matt Ryan being a QB1 this year.
Like a mid-level QB1. Like, if you told me – if someone gave me the projections of the rankings and put Matt Ryan redraft as QB 6 or 7, I don't think I'd look at you like you're crazy.
I wouldn't be sure.
I might end up being that guy. But you're right. You have those three absolute studs he's thrown to. Russell Gage balled last year.
Yep.
Hayden Hurst is still a good tight end. And they threw the ball 626 times last season.
And he's going to throw it 626 more times this year. So.
That was with the beat up Julio Jones.
Yep.
I don't know who's going to be getting the ball, who's going to have what role. All I know is Matt Ryan is going to eat.
Yeah.
And fantasy wise, I think he was in one of the biggest swing positions.
I could agree with that. We'll say that on May 11th, though. But if they do trade Julio, then that changes everything. That literally changes so much. I think he'll still have a solid season, even if they do trade Julio. But, like, with Julio, wow. There's a chance he could throw for 5,000 yards. Without Julio, he'll have a solid season.
If he still has Julio, I'm going to own so much Matt Ryan this year in fantasy. I'm going to have him everywhere. I'm going to be beating the drum all year, and y'all are going to be super annoyed by it. But I don't care.
I'm with you.
Let's talk to Melvin Gordon. So Melvin Gordon was top 10 last year rushing yards. He was 9th for running backs, 10th overall. And we added Javonte Williams. And I don't know what to do. Like, I'm not excited about either one in fantasy now. I think Melvin Gordon keeps Javonte Williams handcuffed a year, maybe two before he gets a full workload. I don't see the skill sets being that different where he's other than a backup or them just splitting carries. I don't have much excitement either way, but I think the Melvin Gordon trade's coming to an end.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. The thing that's keeping Melvin Gordon alive is he can catch the ball. He's a good receiver. That's what's keeping him around. You see, that's been the difference between him and you see guys like, you know, Todd Gurley just flames out that quickly. Todd Gurley's not a good exception. He can catch, but his knees just blew up on him. But
yeah, his knees are made out of like bubble wrapping glass.
Not great. But you know, I agree with you. I think this is a murky situation. Their whole offense is a murky situation. We don't know what we're getting from the quarterback with them. We don't know what we're getting from the running backs with them. We like their wide receivers and the tight ends, but that's dependent on the quarterback. Denver's whole offense is a question mark right now. You want to know what would solve that question mark and turn it into an exclamation point? Aaron Rodgers. So let's hope. As a fantasy community, let's hope.
Everything changes. Yeah, I really want Cortland Sutton and blah, 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 Jerry Jeudy to be a thing. And fan. I love them all.
They're so good.
They're so good. There's a lot of questions. I still hold out a tiny, minuscule bit of hope for Drew Lock. Like a 12%.
No. Absolutely not. Ryan, let me tell you something. I watched the Patriots play the Denver Broncos last year. They were coming off of 2 days of practice. The Patriots, 2 days of practice in 2 weeks. That was with a bye week sandwiched in between. Now I know they had the bye week imposed on them with the Broncos and all that. So the Broncos come in. Patriots are off 2 days of practice. You want to know what Drew Lock did? He kicked 6 field goals. Not him. He led the team to 6 field goals. And then in the final 2 minutes, they almost blew the game with 2 Drew Lock interceptions off a team that practiced for 2 days. I can't tell you any more than that. That's enough for Drew Lock for me.
That's called a W for me. It's a winning football.
It literally almost wasn't. Against a team that was practicing for 2 days in 18 days leading up to that game.
To their defense, 2 days of Patriots practice is better than a full week of most teams.
I'm flattered.
Should be. I'm
flattered.
And speaking of Patriots, what are we doing with Cam Newton? I drafted my first McCorkle share today. How long till it pays dividends?
It sucks for Cam because you have a possible guy you could target late rounds. He starts 16 games for us this year behind that O-line and what they got at tight end, wide receiver, and running back. He's probably a QB1. He's probably a low-end QB1 this year if he starts 16 games. I'm not positive he starts 16 games. What if in training camp when they're going against the Patriots defense, which is very good, what if the offense looks better under Mac than Cam and he's moving the ball more than Cam? Guess what? Mac starts week 1. I wouldn't put that out of the realm of possibilities. I don't want it to happen. I want Cam to be the guy here for this year. I want Mac to sit and learn, but Belichick does what's best for the team. So I have no idea if Mac's moving the ball better, Mac will start. This sucks. Basically is what I'm saying here. This stinks. It takes Cam off the board.
It does. I'd say that puts his draft capital super low for me.
Yep.
And it's messed up because he could easily be performed.
Yep.
Because if you told me he's starting, I'm probably gonna have him above Carson Wentz. I absolutely have him over Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff. But if you tell me it's a 50-50 chance, I'm gonna take one of these dudes who aren't going to put up as many fantasy points or don't have the ceiling like that.
It's not a question that's going away either in the season. Like Cam with Mac behind him, you need to perform. This is a talented team now. This isn't the crap roster that you had last year. This is a playoff contending roster now. If Cam's not performing at quarterback, you're going to get benched. There's a guy waiting behind you now. There's no Brian Hoyer behind you or Jarrett Stidham. Like, there's a first round QB waiting behind you. That's the problem. So it's not a good look for Cam Newton right now. He has to perform. And if you trust it, you could get rewarded or you can get burned.
All right. We're going to transition right off a quarterback who was that one in waiting last year and was a thorn in our side fantasy. And that's Tua Tagovailoa. Wow, is his situation awesome now?
Yes.
Like, this dude came out a huge, huge winner. Added Will Fuller in free agency, got him Jalen Waddle, got him as running back. I mean, man, Tua. Or actually, didn't get running back.
I was about to say, who the hell is running back?
Yeah, I'm sorry. They didn't add a running back. They added another tight end.
Yep.
This offense has talent. And I think it fits with Tua does. They got a player he's comfortable with, a run after catch guy who creates separation. Yep. You have Will Fuller who creates separation. He has a deep ball. You have these two big body receivers. You have two talented tight ends.
Yes,
he was at his best at Alabama when he spread the ball around. He didn't know where it was going. He made quick reads because obviously when he did it, went through his draft evaluation, it was his decision-making, his quick reads, and accuracy is what made him thrive. And guess what? This offense is built for guys to get open and for him to go through his progressions quickly. I think he's going to ascend. Like, he's going to be a person who's like, why didn't we view this guy as a top 10 quarterback in dynasty a month ago or 3 months ago, 4 months ago or longer? Like, I think he's going to make a lot of people regret a lot.
I would like that, because what the slander that was coming out against Tua last year was way overblown. It was so stupid. So I would love nothing more but to see Tua ball out this year. And everything you said is true. He's got great weapons around him now. There's two problems that I see with the Dolphins right now. One, there's no run game there. I'm not afraid of any single running back there. They're not going to run the ball well at all. You want to know what else is going to help them not run the ball well? Their offensive line is terrible. Their offensive line sucks. Like, they were looking for help on the offensive line this offseason. They did not get it. They took, I think, one offensive tackle early. I'm a little worried about that. That could cripple an entire offense. You know, Will Fuller's a speed guy. You can't throw deep if you're on your back after 2 seconds. Jalen Waddle, another speed guy. You can't throw deep if you're on your back after 2 seconds. That's a problem. I just have that in the back of my mind right now, because that's the only thing that would blow up this lovely Tua season that we hope he'll have. I just hope that the offensive line is good enough, but I'm looking at the guys right now and I'm not impressed.
Yeah, that's a tough division.
That is a tough division to not have a good offensive line in. Let me tell you right now, the Bills and the Patriots are going to eat against that offensive line.
Oh my God, I literally barely know anybody in that offensive line. It's bad.
It's not great. It's not a great looking one.
Yeah, so they didn't help as much as I thought. But if they run, I mean, if they just spread that out. Quick hits. I think he can still succeed. I don't know if we're going to have a fantasy stud out of that offense, fantasy-wise, out of the receivers.
I think we're probably still a season or two away from Tua becoming what we thought he'd be from the draft.
Yes.
I think he's still going to have his struggles this year. I think they're still trying to find their way. Brian Flores is still a young head coach. I mean, this is only his third season going into it, so... And I'm pretty sure they've turned over the offensive coordinator position, I think, twice now. So it's, yeah, I like what they gave him, and I love what he has at wide receiver. I like the two tight ends. I like Gesicki and Long. I think it's Hunter Long they took, right?
Yeah.
Hunter Long. I like those two guys. Like, don't get me wrong, I think he's got targets to throw to. It's just if everything else holds up, basically.
Yeah, and I'm still slightly worried about being gun shy from that injury.
That as well. That was not an easy injury to come back from.
Yeah. Here's a guy I'm really excited about right now. Wide receivers, Michael Pittman. The Colts really didn't take anybody. Pittman's that big body threat. They have they have a real quarterback now, Carson Wentz. You can at me. I don't care. Carson Wentz is better than whatever they threw out there last year. And Phillip Rivers, who's 102. But, I mean, Pittman's competition for targets is 31-year-old T.Y. Hilton, Zach Pascal, and Paris Campbell, who is a gadget guy, and Naheem Hines. Like, they're going to run the ball a lot, but Pittman's the red zone target. He's better than Mo Alley-Cox and Jack Doyle. He could be a high volume, high target receiver in that offense. And everybody else is there is just good enough, especially that run game in line, where he's not going to be getting a ton of double teams. I mean, everything is looking on the up and up for a breakout.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. When I saw that name on there that you put there, yeah, I agree. They really did not add anyone. So,
just lie.
They're gonna do. The Colts are gonna do what they do, man. They have a great offensive line. They're gonna run the ball strong with Jonathan Taylor, but Pittman, yeah, like you said, Hilton's up there in age now. He's not the spring chicken that he once was. They're gonna rely on Michael Pittman and hopefully Paris Campbell if they get something out of him. But yeah, Pittman has the chance to ascend to be a wide receiver one on that team now.
Yeah,
I'm interested in seeing it. Where's he? I wonder where he's going. What's his ADP?
Oh, I don't know. I'll figure that out though.
Because that would be one. I'm sure it's not before, you know, it's probably not even before round eight. If it's not even before round eight, I mean, I'm taking that every day.
Yeah. And if you look at Carson Wentz's history as a quarterback, what he's gravitated towards throwing to is his tight ends and his only receiver who he ever really had perform was Alshon Jeffrey, who
big body
was a very similar skill set, just broken all the time.
Yep. Yep. I like it. I like that call.
All sides are pointing towards that. Ninth round.
Oh, that's a slam dunk.
Like,
you can get a possible wide receiver one in the ninth round.
Yeah, fantasy football calculator has him at like 9-11.
So that's basically 10th round.
Yeah, so end of the ninth round. That's a steal.
Yeah. Yeah. I would 100% advise taking a chance on that. That is the type of wide receiver you want to take a chance on late in the rounds. That's perfect.
And he can become wide receiver too in fantasy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like that. I like that call. I thought it was weird that the Colts didn't add anyone, to be honest. I thought it was a little weird.
I thought they were a slam dunk team to add one.
Yeah. All right. I was surprised. At least tight end or something. They did not.
Which one of the ones that you sent over to me stands out that you want to hit? So I have one more I want to really get to.
Oh, we can talk very nicely about Allen Robinson if you want. Ryan, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something real quick.
How much I love Allen Robinson.
Have you ever seen a bear fly? It is a horrifying sight. It's like a bear's body with a fly's head and like fly wings, but they're gigantic. It's a horrifying sight. But we're gonna see a bear fly this season because Allen Robinson's going all the way through the roof here. I mean, with Justin Fields, dude. Oh man. And by the way, we're gonna leak some information here. If you haven't seen it yet, apparently the Bears are gonna open up their season on Sunday Night Football in LA against the Rams. Please have Justin Fields starting. Do not make me watch Andy Dalton. This is such a beautiful situation. I'm not done glowing over this since the draft. This is lovely. We get it. We get a real quarterback thrown to Allen Robinson. That's a gift. That's a gift for us fantasy people. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And I can't get the image of this terrifying bear fly out of my head.
I wanted to draw that picture pretty well for you.
Is this from something? Have you seen one of these before?
No.
I have so many questions.
It just, you know, I've played Bloodborne on PlayStation, and honestly, that game, I blame that game. I blame that.
Okay. So this is – we're talking about Allen Robinson with bad quarterback play. 78 yards a game, 71 yards a game, 58 yards a game, 55 yards a game, 87 yards a game, 54 yards a game. Like, nothing but consistent play. We've seen a 14-touchdown game or 14-touchdown season with Blake Bortles.
With Blake Bortles.
A 14-touchdown season with 1,400 yards with Blake Bortles.
Bortles.
Blake Bortles. And now we're adding Justin Fields. Like,
sky's the limit.
The ceiling is the floor, or the floor is the ceiling. One of the two. I use the saying all the time. I don't know how to use it right, but it's one
the
of those two.
Ceiling is the roof.
I love it. Like, Allen Robinson should be in that wide receiver one talk easily right now.
Oh, say it with confidence. Say it with confidence.
Easily now. And his situation's better than some of these better. I don't know if they're better wide receivers. Like, it's just he's been in the worst situations. He should be. When we were talking about Devontae Adams, AJ Brown being in terrible situations, let's look at Allen Robinson, how he survived.
He is the poster boy for bad situations.
I think we're almost at the point where he's so underrated and we don't appreciate how amazing he's performed in his situations. Like, absolutely amazing.
He's blessed. Bless him. It could not happen to a better guy.
He's been doing the blessings his whole career. It's time for him to give back. Give him back.
Yes. The football gods threw him a bone with this one. I love it.
They really did. Guys, not as exciting of a player as Allen Robinson, but his ADP was sneaking up and up and up. And then we thought they were going to draft another running back. That's Chase Edmonds. All they brought in was James Conner, who I'm not worried about.
Are you ready to buy in with me?
On Chase Edmonds?
Yes.
I didn't realize you were fully bought in.
I'm so in.
I'm in.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm
Chase in. Edmonds is a good player. He's a good player,
and he fits.
Yes.
Like, James Conner's going to come in, short yardage, red zone, fine, whatever. I don't need Chase Edmonds to score 10 touchdowns to be fancy productive. I don't need him to rush for 1,000 yards. Can he rush for 700 yards, 800 yards, and still be a low-end RB1? Yep, because he's going to give you 400 yards in the air. He is a true dual-threat quarterback. The team didn't improve their offensive line that much. It's a quick-hit offense. They threw the ball 575 times last year. They're probably going to throw for more because Kyler Murray was hurt last year. They're going to be up there around that 600 mark. And Chase Edmonds is going to be catching the ball as an extension for the running game. So that 600 mark is kind of deceptive because they are extended runs. But if you're getting 70 targets, which are essentially half of them are essentially runs, guess what? That's still fantasy points. That's PPR gold right there.
Music to my ears.
Like, he's I can't see a situation where he doesn't do well. Like, there's a lot of really good running backs. But what's really different about him and Austin Eckler? In your mind, like, their game and their offenses, what they can do, it's not a huge difference for me. And I feel like one's getting way more respected than the other, but they both kind of do the same thing.
The only reason one gets more respect than the other is because Austin Eckler's actually gotten the opportunity. Chase Edmonds has always been like a tease. We've always teased Chase Edmonds for like a game or two, and he's never fully gotten, you know, the load. I want to see it, man. I want to see. He's never had more than 97 rushes in a season. Give him 150. Just give him 150, and let's see what happens. I think it will be pretty good luck.
150 for him, 180, 200 for James Conner. It's great. Beautiful. He's RB1. Low end RB1.
There you go.
Because, I mean, he had 67 targets last year.
Yeah. Caught 53 balls. Not bad.
Not bad. And again, that's with Kyler Murray hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm in on Edmonds, man. I'm in on Edmonds. I think Edmonds is going to have a good season. As long as if Cliff ain't bullshitting here, I like Chase Edmonds this season. I think he's got a very good opportunity ahead of him.
Yeah. Anything else we want to hit on this? Because I got recommended last week.
Yeah, for going over. Just one last one real quick here. I saw you put Miles Sanders there. Let me tell you my piece on Miles Sanders right now. I don't want it. I don't know what Philly's doing right now. I have no idea what Philly's going to look like under Nick Sirianni. You all know my feelings on Jalen Hurts. I don't know what Philly wants to be. I don't know what their identity is going to be. And this sucks because I love Miles Sanders. I think Miles Sanders is a great player. But you bring in a guy like Kenneth Gainwell, let me tell you right now, Kenneth Gainwell is going to get on the field. He will get on the – he has tools to get on the field for Philly. That just leads me to another headache there. And Miles Sanders was going as high – I mean, he was going as high as the first round in some startups a couple seasons ago or a season ago. And that's just to where we are now, he's a mine in a minefield. And if you step on him, he'll blow up. Not in a good way.
This makes me so sad. Like, I love the talent. I love it. He's one of the most creative running backs in the league. I'm a sucker for a creative running back. Like, a guy who can make people miss an open field in different ways. I'm such a sucker for it. And here we are.
He's in a swamp now.
And this offense not having identity scares me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not pretty. It is not a pretty sight right now.
And you know what? By the time it figures itself out,
it'll be too late.
2 years, how old's Miles Sanders now? How's that super? He's 24, so 2 years that happens. So he turns 25 in May.
In 2 years, hopefully he's gone from Philly and he'll be on to a better team. Next season, he's 26.
2 years, he's 27.
Yep.
27-year football running back.
Not great. It's not great.
Might be time to sell Miles Sanders.
I would be looking to do so this offseason. Yeah.
Yeah. What? Well, it takes down off on a high note.
Sorry.
Anywho, you working on anything right now other than projections?
Nope, we're just firing along with the predictions. I'm excited for the season, the schedule to release tomorrow. Maybe I'll do an article on that. Maybe I'll throw something out there on that because there's some games this year, man. There's always games, but there's a couple that I'm looking forward to.
Hell yeah. Well, awesome, guys. Thanks for popping in for the Dynasty Draft Room presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. And remember, if you enjoyed the episode and you're not subscribing already, hit that subscribe button, shoot us a 5-star review, say something nice, and we'll catch y'all next week.
Later, taters.